Did you know that every day companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data? Your name, your address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records and the internet and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. And that's when Aura comes in. Right now, you can try Aura free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. See site for details.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
Hey, Andre, after 17 years, I finally got to borrow and drive a Maserati sports car. Never, ever driven a Maserati sports car.
In the entire history of TFL Studios?
Yep, nope, never did, never.
Dang, well, that's a big occasion.
It is, and I was so excited, and dude, it turned into an utter nightmare of a train wreck, and I'll tell you that story.
Wait a minute. Didn't you also drive a Maserati sedan?
That also turned into a train wreck. Yeah. Like 15, 13 years ago, I borrowed a, I think it was a Quattroporte sedan from the dealer.
Uh-huh.
And they said, we've got 13 of them sitting here because they weren't exactly hot sellers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can take this one and you can go review it. So Tommy and I took it to go and review.
That's great.
And 4 minutes into the review, they called me and they said they needed it back.
What?
Yep.
Four minutes into the
review? They had like 15 sitting on the lot, and then they said, we need this one because somebody came by and they want to buy this one. And that was really kind of when we stopped borrowing cars from dealers.
Well, we still sometimes do this now, but with a much better result.
Yes. So this is a special show today. We're trying something, and we don't know if this is going to work. It's a proof of concept show, so if this doesn't work, please don't hold us responsible while you can, but it's, I've been listening to this Car Pro show on the weekend, which is a radio show, and people actually call in and ask them questions. What car should I buy?
Uh-huh.
As you know, asking questions, especially for our Patreon members, is something that we answer during our shows.
Yes.
But they're always typed.
Yes.
And when people type questions, you just can't have a conversation with them. You can't get the full details. And so in about 10 minutes, we're going to I'll let you guys, our Patreons, or if you guys are watching this live, you'll be able to call in. We've got the phone right here. We're going to do this very low tech. We're going to just put the phone up to the mic. And This is a nice iPhone. And you can actually ask us a question, and we'll be happy to answer it or just have a car chat with us. What's the number, Cole?
I'll be able to tell you in a second. The number is 720-310-5435. But don't call just yet. Just give us a few minutes, 12 minutes more to, because I want to hear your Maserati story.
Yeah, I got to tell you the story of woe from the Maserati.
Uh-huh.
So I was going down to Florida. My mom passed away last year about this time, and she left me a condo on Marco Island. And my man Zach here was kind enough to arrange for a Maserati 2026 MC Pura loan.
Whoa.
That's the car.
Hot-looking car.
Yeah, it used to be called the Maserati MC20.
Yes.
And this was like a dream of mine to drive. This is a convertible, a spider version, and it starts at $285,000.
Only,
and I think this one probably has tested as like $300,000. 621 horsepower, twin-turbo V6. It's got about as much Italian What's that thing called? Something about life? I can't think.
Je ne sais quoi?
That's the French one. But there's an Italian version of that, as you can expect. So it's
very bad at
It's absolutely stunning and it's gorgeous. And I was so excited.
Okay.
And the initial problem was, and if you fast forward in this video, you'll see. Here's the problem. I knew this was going to be an issue because my wife was coming down with me. As well, because we're trying to fix up this condo because my mom bought it in 83 and she has not basically refurbished it.
This condo is old.
It's old. And it's, you know, it looks like something from 1983. And she was coming down. And if you fast forward through this video, Cole, you'll see me showing how much space there is for luggage in the car. And we picked it up at the airport. There we go. And here I'll pop it open. And
so I'm sure your wife was really happy with it, right?
Well, this is as much luggage space as you get. That's it right there. Let me show you.
A backpack.
That's a backpack. You won't fit.
What about the carry-on?
You won't fit because the back kind of slopes down and you won't fit. And there's a frunk. A frunk will hold a folder. Literally, it will hold a folder.
A folder.
Yeah, so you can see the slope. It won't fit a roller board. And so my wife had to have her roller board on her lap.
I'm sure that was not...
No, she was not happy with me.
Happy camper.
And also, she couldn't get in her lap because it's got the dihedral doors, right? So I had to put her bag on her lap, close the thing, and then, of course, it makes... There's a front. That's how much...
Oh, that's the folder. Yeah. Or maybe a laptop would fit
maybe
there.
Maybe a laptop, yeah.
Yes.
So that... But, you know, the chance to drive a $300,000 Italian convertible, hardtop convertible, is very rare. So I was like... I told her about it. She was mad at me. You know how that goes when your wife's mad at you.
That's okay, but
it wasn't okay. But
did you take it out after you got back from the airport?
It gets worse.
Oh no!
So I get in the car. We have a horrible drive down because she's giving me that look like you made me do this. I hate this car because it has no room for my luggage.
No space for nothing.
Nothing. And I got in late and I parked it behind the condominium complex. And unbeknownst to me, there was a basketball. Not court, but just a hoop that was set up.
Yeah. Okay.
And the next day I get up, I go to drive the car because I'm super excited, and this is what I find.
A giant spider web of cracks in your windshield.
Yeah, exactly. And then if you go to the next picture, Cole, there was somebody left a note. You want to read the note?
The note says, this is a very small note, my daughter was shooting baskets on the hoop and hit your window with the ball. Please call me at yada, yada, yada.
We can pay, which was very nice. So this gentleman left a note on the car. Basically, his daughter was playing basketball and the basketball hit the window. And
what do you think this gentleman was thinking when he saw a hot two-seater?
$300,000
car. $300,000
car. That windshield is not like your Tundra, which we're replacing.
That's no, it's a wraparound windshield, which looks... expensive. I mean, everything looks expensive on this car.
So I was absolutely like gutted, not just for me, but for the guy. I think that what will happen is that these cars are insured, and so I think Maserati will pick up the bill.
Well, it's a loan from Maserati.
Yeah.
It belongs to them.
They insure it.
And also, I mean, it's bad for everybody. I mean, this was just a freak accident.
So... Yeah, the first time I review, you know, what is in essence a supercar, and I have it one day, and my wife is pissed at me, and, you know.
You have a windshield problem.
Broken, and it's not just a little crack. I mean, it's spidered.
Yes.
So, it was no good, Andre. And then I also had another problem, which was kind of the piece de resistance. There we go. There's some French, I believe.
Oh, okay.
And that is, you know, we've bought a bunch of sports cars over the last several years. So Tommy has his Aston Martin. We had a Porsche 911 Targa. And then we had a C8 Corvette 2020. And the one thing that all three of them had in common, can you imagine the one thing that all three of them had in common? The brakes sounded like a rusted 1982 Honda Civic.
Oh, wait, I have an idea about this.
An incredible piercing squeal every time you hit the brakes.
Could it be a very high-performance carbon ceramic brake rotors that were not hot?
It could be, but this car didn't have carbon ceramics.
Okay.
So all three of those cars had this horrible squeak. So when you hit the brakes, our C8, our Porsche, and Tommy's Aston, it's like, You know, it's just embarrassed because you're in this $300,000 car. People are looking at you now for the wrong reason. And guess what this car did?
It squeaked
very badly. Yeah, yeah. Did you the video, right? Yeah, you heard it. Cole heard it. It was embarrassing. So between the cracked glass, between, you know, my wife's reaction to the car, and between, you know, the squeaky brakes, I just didn't drive it very much. My dream turned into a literal nightmare because it just took the wind out of my sails. And the car, look, the car is absolutely gorgeous. I'm not blaming the car. Maybe the squeaky brakes are a high performance. I don't know.
It's a high performance thing.
Paul would know, right? Maybe high performance.
Well, you should have taken it on a racetrack and figured it out.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd love that. But it could be that because these cars all have that in common. They're high performance cars. And I was just gutted, and I was miserable, and it turned into a sad, sad state of affairs. Like I said, the car is absolutely gorgeous. The materials are—it's all Alcantara.
So that's what the Italian cars are all about. It's the style, it's the occasion, right?
It's everything. It's the engine note, this deep guttural growl.
Yes. Yes.
It has a regular torque converter instead of a dual clutch, so it's a very comfortable car to drive. The steering is precise. It's like wired to your brain, and you put that top down. It's incredible. The sun comes in.
In Florida?
And yes. Has, you know how – what do you think that car and a truck have in common? Cole, go to the point where I put the top down, won't you? There's something that and a car and a truck have in common.
It has a tailgate.
No, it doesn't have a tailgate.
It has a – tonneau cover.
No, so we're gonna watch the top go down now, and it has this beautiful like motion where you can see the back comes up.
The back comes up.
The
roof.
Two-piece hard top, and by the way, that hard top is also photochromatic, so you can make it darker or lighter.
Ooh, yeah.
But then there's a little tiny piece of glass behind my head there. And
oh,
that little piece of glass goes up and down. So you got
like a Tundra.
Yeah, it's got the little window.
Oh, I see.
That goes up and down just like a truck window.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think we've come to the
super hot
portion of the show where we're going to let people try to call in.
Hold on. There's a couple of comments. We're live on Patreon as well at patreon.com/TFLcar, which is our only page. And there's a couple of comments in the chat room saying, first of all, great job for that person and his daughter to leave a note.
That was amazing.
Amazing.
His name was David. David, you're amazing.
Because it's a lesson for the child, and it's, you know, the dad also did that. And then also now there's a comment says that, Roman, unfortunately, they think that Maserati will ban us for life like Subaru.
Well, we've already been banned, not on purpose, but we've never driven Maserati. So it's not like – I don't think Maserati will ban us for life.
But what if Maserati makes a pickup truck? What then?
I actually called the guy and I said he was very nice and he was super – apologetic, and I was super apologetic because I felt bad for him. That's what I mean. The thing is, nobody wins in this, right? Maserati loses, I lose, the daughter loses, the guy loses, and maybe this comment is true. Maybe he taught his daughter a really good lesson that when you do damage something, you take responsibility for it. And, you know, I'm sure that windshield's going to be in the thousands, if not more. And so it was really nice for him to leave that note because the easiest thing in the world would have been just to, you know, scurry away and not take any blame for it. So I was very grateful for that. So are we ready for Collins?
I think so. I just turned off the do not disturb message. And Cole, what's the first the number? Can you show me the number again?
So if you guys want to talk to us, give us a call. Let's see if anybody calls.
What if 10 people call at once? Okay, so 720-310-5435.
That's the number?
720-310-5435.
What if nobody calls?
Then we sit here for the next 40 minutes.
It's going to be the most boring. My proof of concept show is not going to exactly happen.
That's okay. So we need to talk about what's happening because...
there's a first... Oh. Yeah, a phone call.
Yeah, okay.
Go for it. Answer it. Okay, put it on speaker.
Hello.
Hello. Hello? Hello?
Update settings.
Oh, somebody called.
Somebody called.
Okay, Juan's calling. Okay. It's not accepting it.
Can you do it again?
Yeah, it's not doing that beep. It should be doing the beep. And there's a reason it's not doing the beep. Why isn't the thing doing the beep? Hold on.
Can you show it to Cole?
Yeah, it was working. So we're using Gmail and it's... Yeah, try again. There you go. This is riveting. You want me to do it?
Yeah, because I failed. This is going to be like that Maserati review pretty soon.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or in Clomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.
There you go. It did that time. Hello? Oh, wonderful. Hold on. Let me put you on speaker. Okay, you're on speaker. Who is this?
This is Don. I'm from Florida.
Hey, Don. I just came from Florida.
Yeah, well, I'm not near there. I'm more in Central Florida, not near Marco Island, but
Don, are you the one commenting on some of our shows as well?
Oh, always. Yeah, I'm always commenting. I'm always doing stuff.
Well, it's Don. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. It's wonderful to have you on the phone, and it's wonderful to have you on the show. So is there a question we can answer?
Yeah, so it has to do with your new series, the Hands-Free 2000.
Oh.
So I have a couple friends who have Teslas that are around, and I got one friend who drove down from North Carolina here, driveway to driveway. He said he didn't touch the steering wheel either direction, going coming down or going back up. And he's a staunch believer in how amazing it is. And his theory is the reason why no one else is doing it, he's saying, or why Tesla basically is already at, his quote unquote level 4/level 5, but they're just saying it's only level 2 and you have to watch it because they don't want to take the liability. There wasn't a car accident.
That's
his theory. And also...
Go ahead.
Yeah, and then his additional, theory around that is, like, that's why, my other question, part of that question is why are other car manufacturers not maybe taking their footsteps and doing a similar thing? Like, why can't Super Cruise or Blue Cruise, you put in an address... And it only works on the highway. You can't even put the GPS in there. It doesn't follow the GPS like the Tesla does. Why can't they do something similar where at least the GPS, is taken in consideration? And they're only using cameras. And guess what? Our eyes are just cameras, too. So I don't see why they need all these additional sensors and stuff like the BMW system. Or is it the Mercedes system that's supposed to be level 3 and mm-hmm. stuff like that?
Yeah, so you bring up a lot of really great points. Let me take a step back. So for all of you who don't know, we leased a Tesla Model Y at the end of last year, and we wanted to do it because we wanted to do a series that we're calling Hands-Free 2000, and the goal is to drive the car 2,000 miles without ever touching the steering wheel or the pedals and try to see if full self-driving, the latest version, allows you to do that.
And actually verify it, right?
Yeah, and verify it. And the thing that prompted that was, as I've been saying, my mom passed away a year ago now, and my stepfather, who's 93, we were at the moment where we almost had to take his car away from him because, he's getting to the point where he's getting into more and more accidents, and I figured that a computer could probably drive a car better than a 93-year-old, and that's not trying to, disparage.
Are you dissing 93-year-olds?
I'm not. No,
right
I figure at that point I'd rather be sitting as opposed to driving, and so that was impetus for that series. We've owned a bunch of, this is our 6th Tesla, so the last one we owned was a Cybertruck, and that had full self-driving, and what would happen is, it would work until, and the question is, did they get rid of the until? And the until is, like I was driving home one day from Golden, and the truck was making a left-hand turn, and there was a guy coming out onto the main road, which I was, and then the truck almost turned left, not into the road, but into him. And that's that until moment where you have to grab the wheel and you have to keep yourself from crashing into something or somebody else. And so everybody online has been saying that their latest version of FSD supervised is better than that. And so we wanted to test it. And we're doing that in a number of ways. So this week, actually, Tommy is driving the car, or not driving it, to be specific. And he's going to have he's conducting a week of driving, and he's going to have his experiment. It's snowing now, so we're finding out if it works in the snow. Next week, I get it, then Andre gets it, then Case gets it. So we're going to have four episodes where each person is going to not only test it, but we're also going to get, we have another phone call coming in. So if you're calling around the line, we'll get back to you in a second, actually. Give us a second here. Whoever it's from Fredericksburg, Texas. So call back when we're done with this question and we'll answer it for you. So we're all going to drive it. And then the idea is we're going to hopefully find out if not only it works, but if we like using it. And your question, so let me get to your question, Don. So there's five levels of autonomy. We're at level two, and level two basically means that the driver has to be able to take control if something goes wrong at any moment. And you're saying that your friends are saying that maybe Tesla's FSD is at like level four. And the difference between level two and level four and level five is basically at level three, the car can drive itself without the input of a human, but there are certain conditions at which point, like weather or maybe
certain locations, maybe
where you might have to take control. By level five, you basically don't have to have a steering wheel. The car can drive itself without supervision
anytime, anywhere,
or under any weather conditions. And your friends are asking, is the system really level four or level five? I mean, the proof is in the pudding, right? If I were at level four, then I suppose if I were selling a car with that, I would be advertising that. Because at that point, that would be a huge
time saver.
And I was just actually reading a comment that Elon Musk made recently, and that is he was talking to NVIDIA has just come out with a set of tools that are supposed to allow full self-driving for other manufacturers.
Yeah.
And the problem that Tesla has run into, this is what Musk was saying, is you can get to like 99%, but it's that last 1% that's the bugger.
Super hard.
Yeah, it's those edge cases that are hard to predict and hard to figure out. And at level five and level four and at level three, you have to be at 100%. You can't be at 99% technically.
And also liability.
That's
where liability comes from.
And so his friends are saying that liability is the issue. So the only level three system that right now that exists is Mercedes, and they have it between like Vegas and LA, and the car can only do 55 miles an hour. And the big difference is that at that point, Mercedes takes the liability onto itself. So if the car crashes, if it's not supervised, in other words, level three, in other words, I'm sitting in the car and I'm texting and the car crashes, I can then be not at fault because the car is at level three and it's the manufacturer. And so his friends are suggesting that Tesla doesn't want to go to level three or level four because then they would have to take the reliability and responsibility onto themselves. And I guess, my thought on that would be Tesla's already being sued from a lot of people under the level two system, right? There's a lawsuit right now where a Tesla basically drove itself into an oncoming truck and a family of four died. They're getting sued for that. And over the years, they have been sued. So your friends may be onto something, but I think Tesla's going to get sued no matter what they do. So I'm not sure that is the case. But it's an interesting conspiracy theory. I kind of get it.
Well, can I add something?
Go for it.
Yeah, go ahead, Don.
Go ahead, Don.
I was thinking, just a super quick follow-up is, you know, you could make the argument. Well, first off, the ones, this lawsuit they're involved in are older versions of FSD. We're talking about the newest version, whatever that one is, like 14.2 or whatever it's called. But it doesn't matter. Those are the ones that, you know, that my friends are, you know, all like saying that's the most amazing thing in the world. And Elon says, you know, it's that last 1% that's the issue. I think that could be said for any human driver, too, that 99, I mean, you know, as car enthusiasts, you're willing to go out in any condition, but there's always, I would say, even more than that 1% that certain people should not be driving in, or certain situations they shouldn't be getting themselves in. In those cases, they need to pull over, or whatever the case may be, too. So I think that argument can also be made.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, Andre, what were you going to say?
Yeah, just a couple more comments. So you asked about Super Cruise and Blue Cruise. Those are Ford and GM systems.
Yep.
So the latest news there is that I was recently in the Cadillac Optic with the Super Cruise, and it doesn't do point-to-point navigation, hands-free, which is, I think they're getting there. So what they said was it's coming in like a year or year and a half. So GM is working on it. Why is it not ready yet now? I don't know.
I think they're conservative.
Conservative, yes.
Yeah, Tesla's the exact opposite. And the other reason we're doing the series now, by the way, is because you can pair now FSD with Grok, right? Because it comes with Grok. And then the problem my mom would have had or Carl would have had is actually inputting the address. Whereas with Grok, you can just say, you can set your home location, you can set your work location. If you really want to keep it simple, you could just go, hey, Grok, drive me home. And the car will then drive you home. Or if you know the if you don't know the address,
say the address.
Yeah, you could like I need to go to the bank, so you could say, hey, take me to blah blah blank in Boulder, and the car will do that. And so I think when you pair those two, it becomes very powerful for people who are of that age now, where you know they're having their driver's license or their cars taken away, and that means freedom in America, and that's hard. So let me ask you a question: what do you drive?
I drive all older cars. I have, you know, my daily driver is actually an old Ford Fusion that I bought brand new. It's only got 280,000 miles on it. And I have an F-150. And then my wife drives a Flex that you wouldn't be able to pull from her dead hand. I don't think that she loves that thing.
Hey, what is it about the Flex that people love so much? That car has such a following. Why do you think you love
it?
Go ahead.
It's super, like, from a reliability standpoint, I have about 160,000 on it. Again, bought that brand new in 2015, and it's been perfect. You have to put a dollar of actual repair work into it. And it's space. It's like the back seat's like a limo back there, and then we just throw all of our crap in there, and it's low to the ground. My wife is only 5 foot, so her climbing in, she doesn't have to climb in anywhere, so she gets all the space, and she just kind of like sits into it, you know, there's no climbing needed, and it's a big car, so she likes that comfort of the big car feeling. So I don't know, she loves it, and it's our road trip vehicle, and I love it on road trips too. So
you know what's crazy, those cars sold in two places. They sold in Detroit and they sold in LA. For some reason, people in LA and people in Detroit loved the Flexes. That was like a hotbed for those cars.
And in Florida,
yeah. Hey, dude, thank you for being such a super fan. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for a great question.
Yeah.
Thank you. I like this format, by the way. I think you should continue it.
Well, we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you next time. Ciao.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. So if you guys are watching and you want to call in, actually, this guy just called. Let's call him. We'll call him back, okay?
Yeah. And while you're calling him back, Rivian recently also had their technology day where they talked about self-driving and autonomy. And they said, actually, a lot of these companies are working on their own.
Hello.
Hardware and software.
Hey, how are you? Hold on a second. Let me put you on speaker. Okay, who's this?
This is Tad.
Hey, Tad, thank you for calling in. Sorry, we were talking with
Don.
Don, yeah, so I called you back. So thanks for calling. Oops, somebody else is calling. Whoever's from Phoenix,
we'll call you back.
We'll call you back. Yeah, we'll call you back. Go ahead. What's your question?
Sorry, I'm a bit nervous. I feel like I'm talking to my heroes now.
No. Not heroes.
Last week, you gave me some advice on some marriage advice on trying to convince my wife to.
Oh, that was you!
A new car.
Oh no! Okay, so let me refresh the viewers and listeners. So you had called in and you were buying. What were you buying for your wife? What were you thinking about? Was it a Porsche?
Oh no! This was for me. This was my car, but
yes.
But my wife is one of those people that holds on to cars until literally the wheels fall off, and it was a point of friction, shall we say.
All right. So what was your wife's car that she was holding on to that you were trying to get rid of?
It was a 2008 FJ Cruiser that had a frame like Swiss cheese.
That happened to some of them.
Yeah, that happened to some of them. They did not have the frames did not hold out well. So what happened? Did you convince her to get something else?
Yes, by virtue of the fact that it just showed up in the driveway.
Okay. So well, you kind of followed
that. And did it and,
you kind of followed our advice.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah. Well, kind of. Okay. I didn't have the, shall we say, the cojones to ask her to basically not ask her for permission, but say, hey, we need a new car. So I just went ahead and bought it and brought it home.
So you,
and amazingly, she was really cool with it.
So you went the forgiveness route.
I did.
And what was the car? What's the car?
It's a Porsche Cayenne. It's just a base used version, you know, depreciation special.
What year?
That's a 2019.
Okay. Yeah, so is that the first gen? No, that's like the third gen.
No. Yeah, I can't remember. I'm not a Porsche guy. I don't know what generation it is, but it's a nice car.
And how do you like it?
It is a very nice car.
Is it everything? Is it a six cylinder? Or is it an eight?
It's a six cylinder. It's the base turbo. You know, the base six cylinder turbo. But I don't know. My primary car. I know you'll probably recognize it, but my daily driver is my Hummer H1. So it's about as different from that vehicle as it possibly can be. I don't know if I like the Cayenne or not.
So what convinced you to go after a Cayenne being a H1 driver? I mean, that is a world of difference there.
Yeah. So I needed something because the H1 is what it is. It spends a lot of time in the shop. It requires a lot of maintenance. I needed something to get me around town, but I also didn't want to get something like an Ineos Grenadier or a Land Cruiser or anything like that that essentially just does what the H1 does. Just not as good, because the H1's better than all those cars in every regard, in my opinion. So, you know, there's no reason to have two off-road vehicles that can also carry, you know, 4,000 pounds of capacity. So it's one of those things where I just needed a nice get-around-town car that's comfortable and fun to drive.
And where what was your buying experience like? Where'd you find this Porsche?
I just bought it at CarMax. It was nice. I found one online and, you know, had it shipped here. And, you know, the process was smooth and painless and got a nice extended warranty, which was important to me. And it wasn't bad at all. It's like, you know, you hear about horror stories about people dealing with dealerships. And, you know, mine was just walk in, fill all the paperwork, and walk out. It took about 30 minutes, actually.
Well, Ted, that sounds amazing. I was really nervous when you asked us this question a couple of weeks back. And I was like, I hope it really works out. But it sounded like it did work out. That's really amazing.
Yeah, and it's a great car. I mean, you got a really good car there, and I think everything you wanted. But you know, the Porsche is fun and great. But I'm more interested in the H1 now. As a former H2 owner, what questions do you have?
Well, first of all, which H1 do you have? Is this the four door?
It's called the HMCS, which is the wagon. And actually, during COVID, I actually did a video for you guys on my old Hummer, and you guys ran it on the channel. So, but yeah, it's a 2003 bright red. It's got an engine in it called a P400, which is kind of the ultimate evolution of the 6.5 turbo diesel.
Yeah.
So it's got about 400 horsepower and about 850 foot-pounds of torque, I guess, at this point. So it's currently being rebuilt because I blew up my tiny gears. And it's my baby. And I talk about it way too much.
That's cool. But it's also red, which is a really cool color.
Red. It's Firehouse Red. It's one of 10 made in that color for that year. So.
Wow, but so it doesn't have a timing belt or a timing chain. It has timing gears. But I'm surprised that was an issue. Were you surprised by that too?
Well, the 6.5 has normally a timing chain, and the problem is those timing chains stretch out. They actually, over the span of 30,000 miles, they can stretch out about an inch, and so that throws off the timing. And so I had converted it over to timing gear set, which is aftermarket, and of course, you know what happens when you put aftermarket stuff on, it typically fails. So that's what happened here.
Very interesting.
All right, before we let you go, do you have a question for us?
Are you guys ever going to have like a Patreon event or anything at the ranch or anything like that? Because I'd love to schedule a road trip out to Colorado sometime. I've never been there, and would be I'd love to have an excuse to come out.
Yeah, we've been thinking about doing that a lot. You know, we want to do like a lot of people are doing live podcasts, and they're doing it kind of, you know, as a fundraiser, not for themselves, but as a kind of a commercial event. And we don't want to do it that way. So we thought we could probably set up like a little studio at the barn, at the big barn at the ranch, and have people come out. So that is certainly on the agenda for when the weather turns nice. So yeah, stay tuned. We're considering it. We love our fans. We love the fact that you guys enable us to do this job. So hell yeah. We'd love to do that.
And it's always a little bit nervous because when we do like a call-in show like this or an event, which we tried before in some other locations, when nobody shows up, it's kind of...
It's a little terrifying. Yeah. but you showed up, so thank you very much.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Okay, bye.
Appreciate it.
Oh, we had another call. Here, you want to call him? Why don't you call him this time? You get the next one. And while you do that, remember when we were talking to Don?
Yes.
And he said he has a fusion. Well, Don, if you're listening, we have a story about a fusion. Do you remember our fusion story, Andre?
Four big guys in a small car.
Yeah. We were at the Chicago Auto Show. This was a few years back. And we decided to not fly back because there was a snowstorm coming. So we rented a car. And it was me, Andre, Nathan, and our videographer, Ian. And we drove back 1,000 miles in a Ford Fusion. And as much as I love the Ford Fusion, I did not love being in the back of that car with four guys.
The problem was it was a car with bolt tires.
And we were going through a snowstorm.
Yeah, that was another big problem. Hello, this is Andre and Roman. Trying to call you back.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, what's your name?
Well, you'd see my name on the screen as CW Escape XLT4X4, but my name is Chris Warren.
Hey, Chris.
And I've been following you guys for years and years and seeing you grow and, you know, keep up the good work. That was kind of the main thing. But one of the questions I had for you guys more was, what do you see as an upcoming trend or, you know, something that you're kind of seeing that would excite you that's coming up in the industry, in the market? I know it's going to audit January or kind of in between, but, you know, from you guys' perspective.
Yeah, well, we just discussed this morning, actually, yes, in our meeting.
But it's a great question. So let me give you a couple of trends that I think are coming. I think in the truck world, a definite trend, and we haven't seen anybody else but obviously Ford and the Santa Cruz come in with the compact truck, but the compact truck is coming. Obviously, Slate's coming back coming in with its tiny little truck. But I think that Ford's also going to have one. I think that certainly the Stout, which is the Toyota truck, is somewhere being discussed or planned or putting in production. So I think we're going to see a lot more small trucks in the next couple of years. That's one of the big truck trends I think I see.
What about car trends,
like
Roman?
Dodge Dakota kind of thing, where supposedly kind of that mid-size, which would now be like a mid-size truck when they used to be more compact.
Yeah, but maybe, I think Roman was mentioning smaller, like a Rampage. You know how they have the little Rampage in Brazil, that type of thing. But the other thing we were discussing this morning in our meeting just at TFL was plug-in hybrids. I think that's going to be big this year. We were just talking about it. They've been around. There's luxury plug-in hybrids. There's some basic ones like the Prius, which is a little bit more affordable. But I think we'll see a lot more of that throughout. We have another call, but we'll call them back. By the way, Chris, where are you located at? Which state or town?
So ironically, I'm in the Phoenix, Arizona area, and we're having a massive thunderstorm at the moment, which is very unusual for us. So.
And what do you drive? What do you drive? What's your vehicle?
So I have a 2021 Explorer King Ranch.
Sweet.
Love my twin turbo, and then my wife has a 17 Forester that we've done some off roading with, and you know light modifications too.
Yeah, I mean, I used to go to Phoenix quite a bit. There's some great off-roading around Apache Junction, if you've gone down there, north of Phoenix or some. And then if you really want to go, like, serious, Crown King. That's incredible. There's two ways to Crown King. There's the easy way, and then there's the hard way. I wouldn't take the Forester the hard way.
The easy way. Yeah. Can't do the hard way with the fork or the way it's set up, but not many can. It's really set up now for side-by-sides and serious ones down the backside.
Yeah, exactly. Love Arizona. Thank you for calling. We appreciate you watching us, and thank you for the great question.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
Appreciate it very much. Thanks.
Bye.
All right, let's call back the other one who called, Andre. Another trend, I think, of course, are the EREVs, the extended range vehicles. So this is kind of like where you have both the internal combustion engine and an electric motor, and then the combustion engine just works as a generator. Obviously, this is something that BMW came out with in the car that you own, the i3, and now, of course, in the Ram. And I think that's going to be a very popular option and a very popular thing for people.
And also the return of all the very cheap electric cars that were on lease over the last year or two coming back into the market. And that could create some interesting dynamics.
Yeah.
Also,
you know, there's been a lot of like, I told you so in the electric car world. I think the death of the electric car has been far exaggerated. I still think, it comes down to this, Andre. How much gas do you have at your house?
At my personal house?
Yeah, how much gas?
1 ounce.
How much electricity?
Well, almost unlimited, maybe?
Yeah.
I have solar panels on my house.
I think it becomes that becomes the ultimate reason why electric cars are going to do very well, because everybody has electricity. You don't have to go. And I think with the advent of solid-state batteries, at CES this year, there was a motorcycle company, and I can't recall the name.
Verge.
They just introduced the first solid-state battery in a motorcycle.
Charges
in like, I want to say, it's only a 33 kilowatt-hour battery, but I want to say charges from 0 to 100 in 10 minutes. That's to 100, not to, or maybe 90 in 10 minutes. Gets, you know, incredible range. And I think with the advent of electric solid-state batteries, what you're going to see is something that allows an electric car to exceed the range of an internal combustion engine.
Well, as long as it's similarly priced to a comparable combustion vehicle, right? If you have to pay double the price for some of these technologies, I think it makes less sense. But we're seeing those prices come down. As long as they're coming down more, I think that's what's going to be interesting.
Well, I'm hoping it's like kind of like hard drives, you know, where we keep exponentially increasing the amount of room that we have in a hard drive, and we keep decreasing the amount of money. So give him a call. Let's see who's up next.
Yeah.
This is great. Thank you guys for calling in. This is really fun talking to you. It's really interesting getting your take, and I'd love to figure out what you guys are driving.
Okay. So I clicked call, and nothing happened. Okay. one more second.
Try it again. Oh, there it goes. They got put on speaker, I think. Hey, there
we go. Here we go.
Yeah, we're calling. It's the only call-in show where we call you. Hello. this is Roman and Andre. Who's this?
This is Matt out of Michigan.
Hey, Matt, thanks for calling in. Or I was saying we're the only call-in show where we call you.
I'll take it.
Yeah, thank you for calling. So what's your question, Matt?
So my biggest thing, maybe it's more of a suggestion. I know you probably get a ton of these, and sometimes they crash and burn. But I think one thing that I started to see a little bit when Jen was on the show, getting ready to have a baby, I have a family of my own, and I think it'd be cool to see more of that flavor of when we're looking at vehicles, how does this work for families rather than that daily drive? Like, how do we find those cars for car people, but also factoring in when there's families involved? And I know that doesn't hit your whole audience, but it's been something that was cool for me to see and cool for me to think about when we think about my wife's car and things like that. So
I think
otherwise, I mean, I've loved all the content you guys put out, so really appreciate it.
Well, I think
you guys do.
I think that's, you know, a really excellent point that you make. There was a girl here. I'll give you a quick story. There was a girl here in Denver who started a website called Motherproof. And basically what she did was she got a lot of young ladies who were kind of in that, you know, childbearing years of their lives to write for her. And you're seeing kind of a version of this on TikTok now with all the kind of influencers who are women who are doing car reviews from a female/mom standpoint. But she was there first, and she did very well with it. Because I think that women buy cars differently than men do, and I don't want to get it stereotypical here because it's really easy to fall into that. But it's a different way of purchasing a car. And what she ended up doing was selling that Motherproof website to cars.com, which, you know, is this huge sprawling website. And what they did with it was basically just turned it into, like, how does a car seat fit into a car? And I always thought that was a shame because it's more than just, you know, how a car seat fits into a car. That's, of course, important, but it's also all the other things that come with it. And you're right. I mean, right now, what we have in that point of view is like if you're a car person and you have a family, your choice is you get a minivan or you get a Suburban, right? That's or some kind of a big ass SUV.
Or a dually truck, right?
Yeah, no, I don't think. Go ahead.
And even throwing in, because, like, for example, it's like I always wanted, you know, I wanted my sports car, and even picking one of those was like factoring in having two kids and being able to go out as a family. So, like, it really drove me more to the Challenger, having a bigger back seat. And, like, you know, it's weird things like that where you're still looking for those cars that are still fun, but it doesn't even, like you said, it doesn't just have to be car seats. It can be anything when you're thinking about a family, road trip. So, no, just, you know, even if it's just a part of the assessments, everything's helpful you guys do that, you know, especially for people who love cars. So
how old are your kids, or do you have kids?
Yeah, they're now 7 and 9.
All right, so what was your solution to that?
For what?
What'd you get? What car did you? What was your car loving person? What'd you get?
I personally drive a Ram 1500, so big cab, nice for the kids, and I even picked trims that they can even lounge in the back seat with the Laramie, so that's my daily driver. And then my wife, you know, as much as she's not a car person, she still loves fun cars to drive, and we actually got a Durango this past year, and she's been loving it. 3-row, but also drives very nice and, you know, tight to the road. So kind of a combination of having a fun car, but enough space for kids.
Did she buy a Hellcat Durango?
Yes. Or SRT?
That would have been fun, but that would have been hard to argue because that my third car in the garage is I have a Challenger Scat Pack. So that's the fast car. We got the Pentastar and the Durango. So.
So that's.
I look like a Dodge. It's a Dodge commercial in my garage.
Well, you have a nice layout. You have a sporty car, you have an SUV, and you have a pickup truck. What else do you need?
You know, I would say this, Andre. I think sometimes the ability to be safe in a vehicle is not just not getting into accidents, but being able to get out of accidents quickly. So a Hellcat Durango would help with that, because if you see trouble coming, you can quickly scoot out of the way. Anyway. That was a joke. but here's something funny. So I was listening to this podcast, one of the UK podcasts called The Intercooler. This was Seen Through Glass, right? And the guy has a young baby. I think he has like a 1-year-old or a 2-year-old. And his solution, get this, so your problem is he had a Porsche 911 GT3 without the back seat.
Oh, wow.
Without the back seat. So he went and had a back seat retrofitted to his 911 so that he could put the kiddo in the back.
All the money in the world.
We always find our ways.
And we do. Well, thank you for calling, and thanks for the great question.
All right, I'll call back when I need marriage advice when I put the Hellcat Durango in the garage.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. All right, take care. Bye.
Bye.
I don't know if we should be in business giving marriage advice.
No, I think we're really bad at it. Well, I think that ends the portion of the call-in. I think that actually worked pretty well.
That was amazing.
Yeah, you guys are the best out there. Thank you for calling in.
And also, we'll find out. I mean, you could hear. I think you can hear pretty well on the phone call.
Yeah, let us know in the comments below if you're listening to this as a podcast.
If the quality is good enough.
Yeah, let us know if you like this call-in format, if this is something you want us to continue, because I think that was relatively successful.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's talk about a couple other cars before we wrap this up. We've got a few more minutes. So he just mentioned that he wanted, you know, Jen and, of course, Mary, who left, unfortunately. She, just so you guys know, Mary was with us for a year, and then she got a job closer to home. She had a long commute. She was commuting from Fort Collins to Boulder, which is a ways.
This is almost 50 miles.
Yeah, yes. And she decided that she wanted something closer to her house, and so she got a job at the CSU.
University,
working in their film department. So congratulations, Mary. So if you're wondering what happened to her, it was just really a question of convenience, which, you know, I applaud. I can't move the company for you, Mary. but she drove our long-term Nissan Leaf for, I think it was that whole year, and we just got it back from
her. And a lot of miles, too.
And a lot of miles. So as you recall, we leased a Leaf when leasing was good here in Colorado.
How much was that,
$9? $9 a month, yes. Yeah, so we paid $9.
That's what I mean when a lot of those cars are going to be returned, right?
And that's exactly where I was getting to. You saw it because we had that car for another like 6 months, and then all those cheap-ass leases that we got dumped here in Colorado, and the reason we got these cheap leases was because the state of Colorado offers additional tax benefits to allow you to sell these things and lease these things very cheaply. But what's going to happen to that Leaf when we return it in 6 months? It's going to depreciate like crazy, but it's going to make for a really inexpensive A, commuter, or B, first car for like a student, or C, a third car for somebody who just needs an around-town car, mm-hmm. don't you think? And I think that there's all these electric cars that are going to fit into that category. And let's face it, electric cars have just been way too expensive, Andre.
Yes. I mean, we talked about on our truck podcast, we talked about Escalade IQ. I mean, a lot of these SUVs are six-digit vehicles, right? $140,000, $150,000 for a lot of these very fancy and capable vehicles. But that's not good enough if you need a commuter, if you need a simple vehicle just to get around town.
Yeah, and so what made cars explode? You could argue that what made cars so popular
was the Model T.
Was the Model T that Ford basically brought. Because like with electric cars, regular cars started very expensive. They were toys. They were for the very wealthy people. And then Ford came along and basically created the assembly line. And what he did was democratize mobility. You're using
the
new
car,
which is a car. And now what's going to happen is I think all these electric cars that were very expensive are going to come off lease and are going to be actually relatively affordable. So people who would normally not consider an electric car, and there's a certain percentage of people who hate the electric car with a burning passion. I get that because of politics. There's been an intersection of electrification and politics. I never got that. I don't know why something has to be political. That's, a thing, but it is. That's the world we live in. But it will make cars affordable. And like I said before, how much electricity do you have at the house? Unlimited, basically. Whereas how much gas do you have? You have to go to the gas station. At some point, the convenience of the electric car, along with its affordability, I think we'll get a lot more people driving electric that normally wouldn't. That's kind of my take on what's going to happen in the next few years.
Yeah. By the way, we have a couple of comments here in the live chat from Olivier and Jonathan, who said the sound quality was pretty good, decent, maybe not the best. And we could also, if this is successful, we can make the quality better.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. So it's not out of the question, of course. We just wanted to try something, and it worked really beautifully. Thank you for calling.
I mean, if this is a radio show, you'd have a call screener, and you would put people on hold. You would ask questions. But obviously, we don't have budget. It's just Cole and the two of us sitting here.
Cole is like juggling several things right now.
Yeah. You want to be a call screener, Cole? He says no. He's happy just to be.
But we can do it if it's really huge. If it's really working.
Yeah. All right. So that's the Leaf.
Yes.
And then I gotta
tell
you.
What about Jen?
Oh yeah, Jen's coming back.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. Jen, baby was born early.
Yes.
With preemie. And so she was going to come back originally now, but because the baby was born a month early, she's going to take some more time off, and she's going to come back, hopefully, if all goes well, next month. So I'm looking forward to her return.
Yeah, we miss Jen.
We miss her.
Yeah.
So the next car I want to talk about was kind of the biggest surprise of the year for me. And you've been driving this recently. And I told Tommy, I just went to breakfast with him, and I told Tommy that I would actually buy this car for my mom or for myself or for my wife with my own money, and that is the Passport Trail Sport. What do you think of that car? We've done a bunch of things with it. Honda was kind enough to loan it to us for 3 months, and I was thinking to myself, oh, just another, a two-row crossover, and it's very surprising. And I'll give you my take, and then I'll get yours.
Mm-hmm.
So first and foremost, I love the look of the thing. I think the color, I'm a color guy, so I love the orange color, but also the headlight pattern with the little U-shape that goes around is cool.
I agree. It's especially the Trail Sport we're talking about.
Yes.
Because it's got a little bit more aggressive tires. I love the way it looks. They nailed the look of it.
And it's hot.
I agree.
And the interior is hot. We've got this like chocolate cappuccino interior.
Yes.
It's just absolutely beautiful. And I was worried that it wouldn't do very well off-road, but it's actually been surprisingly good off-road.
Yeah, we have another video coming next week where I took it actually with Case. We had the Land Cruiser versus Passport. So stay tuned for that video. I agree with you. They knocked the look out of the ballpark. And also the engine, the powertrain is pretty good. It's a traditional V6.
It's been in the Ridgeline forever. It's been everywhere.
Yeah. The Pilot has it.
The only downside of the engine is it's a little thirsty, but gas being $2 a gallon now-ish.
But it's not that thirsty. I mean, from 22 to 24-ish mpg, that's not too bad.
So two things I don't like about it. Like I say, the fuel economy, especially now with hybrids and Toyota going all hybrid, It's a little on the thirsty side, but you're right, it's not horrible. And I don't like the push button transmission. But outside of that, a CarPlay works like a dream.
Yes.
By the way, that was that Maserati. That was my favorite thing about it, the CarPlay.
It worked.
It worked. Yeah.
No way.
It's basically Uconnect, right? Because it's a Stellantis product.
Yes.
And I was supremely surprised at how good off road the Passport is, given that this one only has like 8 inches of ground clearance.
8.3.
Yeah, I thought it would be much worse. And then you feel, special driving it, which is something you usually can't say about a midsize crossover.
Exactly. I think it's the styling. It doesn't look like a blob or a jelly bean. It looks really attractive, but I would not buy it.
Why is that? What don't you like about it?
We disagree on this point, you and I. I don't like the driver's seat. The driver's seat bottom seems too hard to me.
Mm.
I don't really get comfortable in the driver's seat.
This is a huge contention with people. If you don't
fit in the seat, you don't buy it.
You don't buy the car. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. But you like the seat.
I have no issues with the seat.
Is that true?
The reason that we got rid of the Ranger Raptor was the seat.
Because you didn't like the seat.
It poked me in the back, right where my neck hits my back. That little bump there, it just poked me right there. And every time I drove it, I was always like trying to fiddle with myself, trying to get comfortable. And you had no issues with that.
No.
As much as I love the truck, if I can't sit in the truck.
And you like the Honda Passport seat, and I don't like the bottom cushion.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, actually, this chair I'm sitting in is pretty bad too.
Well, what do you want, Andre? I want
the lazy boy.
You want a call screener? You want an on hold feature?
Or I want the lazy boy.
Or do you want a better chair? Now, the good news is that we are trading it. Tommy's going to California, so we are going to be getting a Ridgeline to replace it, which is great.
That's a really good news, especially since we've purchased a first generation Ridgeline as well.
Yeah. So,
by the way, those two were not really super planned out.
No.
I mean, we just saw kind of a really, really interesting first generation Ridgeline.
And Honda was kind enough to actually
loan us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about was a nasty surprise.
What?
So, as you know, if you guys don't know, I recently purchased, or the company recently purchased, a 997 Porsche.
That's
911.
Right. Yes, that's
so,
right.
So kind of the holy grail for Porsches for some reason. You know how, like, if you're a watch guy, and I'm kind of becoming a watch guy because my wife bought me a watch. I was an Apple watch guy, but my wife bought me a nice watch. It's called I can't think of the name right now.
It's not a two-door.
A two-door, yeah.
Two-door.
A two-door,
okay.
Which is like the budget Rolex.
Okay. But Pepsi. Not a four-door.
No, a two-door.
Okay.
Pepsi. And I really fall in love with it. It was a used one. I've really fallen in love with it. And that, I don't know if that's the watch. It's a popular watch, but Pepsi is a popular watch. It's gotten very popular. Basically, it's got that little ring around it, and the top is like
the blue and red.
Blue and red, yeah, like a Pepsi. Yeah, anyway, the 997 911 has become that. And the holy grail is the 997.2, because the 997.1 has bore score issues, and it also has IMS issues. So if you watch the video, I did a video saying everything that's wrong with my 911, and there were basically like five things wrong with it. We paid $35,000 for it. At a Hagerty auction, and the reason it was relatively inexpensive, especially for a 997, which has become the 911 du jour for a lot of Porsche aficionados, was because it was on the auction, but they had no paperwork. And if it doesn't have a replaced IMS, or if you don't know that there's no bore scoring, it makes it an engine replacement potentially. So a lot of people are afraid of it. Anyway, after the auction ended, I was the highest bidder at like $29,000. And Hagerty came back and said, hey, we'll sell it to you for $35,000 with fees. And here's 2 inches of paperwork showing you all the work that was done on it.
Great.
So it had the IMS replaced. They did a compression test. The compression was good. If you have bore scoring, usually that's an indication of bad compression, and this one had good compression. So I felt comfortable with those two major issues. And I talked to the guy, and he said, yeah, it's a car. The Hagerty guy, he said, it's a car I'd be willing to buy. It's in great shape. So it shows up, and immediately I go to use the squirters, and the squirters don't work. The passenger seat, when you move it back and forth, it doesn't go back and forth. It goes left and right. So one of the motors or something is stuck, so it's not going back and forth. The heated seats don't work. The little controls for the garage door opener don't work. And the passenger window goes down but not up. So five things.
Those are kind of minor issues, but still issues.
Yeah, a car shifts well, it drives well. We haven't done any bore scoring checks. You have to do you put a camera in there and you check for it. That's like $1,000 thing. So I take it to a local repair shop here that I know.
Okay.
They sent me back a very, very detailed description of everything that is wrong with it with pictures. How much do you think that came back at to repair it all? Everything. Cole, do you know that number?
Does Cole know that number?
So I put aside $5,000 for repairs. Close. He said 20. You're close.
Okay. This is including the window and everything else? You paid 35 for it?
Yeah. And I put aside 5.
15?
18.
18?
$18,000 to fix everything that's wrong with it. And they found a lot more wrong with it. So, for instance, the radiator's leaking. The suspension is completely original to the car. The tires are bald in places.
Well, those are easy.
There's a crack in the manifold.
You and I can replace the tires.
Yeah, we can replace those. We can do.
I can't fix a leaking radiator.
Or a manifold.
Yeah.
Or bushings or replace suspension.
So they took you they want to take you to the bank.
They want $18,000 on a $35,000 car.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Yeah, no. So I said fix the squirty thing. Fix the window so it goes up when it's cold. And then the car has two buttons. So I thought the reason that the two buttons for the heated seats didn't work is that when you have a Porsche of that generation, the computer sometimes forgets what features came with it, with the car. And so if the battery goes dead and then you don't do the handoff to the new battery while keeping the power on, the computer may forget that the car has heated seats. So I thought it was that, but they said that there are actually no connections for heated seats under the seats. So as if the car has no heated seats, like the seats don't have heaters in them.
Or maybe they were replaced or something, wrong seats?
So maybe the computer was replaced or maybe the seats were replaced, okay. But there is no. But I can't imagine the Porsche would put heated seat buttons.
But not the wires.
Not the wires. So that still remains a complete mystery.
Maybe the seats were replaced by a previous owner.
So I said fix like the five things.
Okay. Well, I would just say the same thing because, I mean, this is not, yeah. Also, for $18,000, Roman, you could buy 4 Ridgelines.
Yes, for $4,000 a piece that we just bought.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's a lot of
which
value.
Which had its belt changed that you figured out.
Yes, it has a timing belt changed, which is great.
That was kind of a nasty surprise. So we just had a caller who bought a Cayenne.
Yeah, 2019.
Yeah, so congratulations on getting the extended warranty.
But yes.
I didn't want to tell you on the phone the story, but that's what I thought of when you said you bought a Cayenne.
And hopefully you don't have $18,000 of bills coming
up. Well, if you do, you're covered.
Well, yes, extended warranty.
Yeah. So, we're going to do about $4,000, then we're going to talk to our friends.
I figured
at Bridgestone and Michelin hopefully one of those
wife, maybe his wife was okay with the Cayenne because he thought about the extended warranty and she appreciated that.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what happened.
I don't think you can get an extended warranty on 2005, 911, 997 generation one.
No.
And no. I'm not even sure that it
does. Not even Granger warranty can do it.
I'm not even sure that it doesn't have bore scoring. Or I know the IMS has been replaced, so I'm good with that, but I'm not sure about the IMS. Any comments, Derek?
Yes. Our friend who called in with the Hummer H1 says his Hummer repair bill is about $15,000.
Well, it is a pretty badass truck.
Well, it's also the engine problem. It's the timing gear explosion.
Yeah.
It's basically a new engine probably.
Could be, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thanks for calling, by the way.
Anything else? Any other comments before we wrap this up?
Well, Some people said, oh, it was a 6 year and 100,000 mile extended warranty in the Cayenne. So that's good.
You're covered, yeah.
So, and they said quality of the, well, we consider the Zoom call, by the way. Somebody's talking about Zoom, but I think, I mean, if we can patch people in on the phone.
Yeah, Zoom, you could have multiple people, I suppose.
I guess you could.
Yeah.
I guess you could.
So maybe that's the next, yeah, we'll think about it. That's a great suggestion. Who is that? I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see. So thank
nothing
you.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to hear. Thank you for suggesting that. That's not a bad idea. But then you got to send out the invites.
Yes, which we can do.
Which we can do, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But thank you for joining us here.
So anyway, the Porsche is at the dealership. We're going to talk to our friends about getting new tires, and we're going to do some – I figure this is a good opportunity to do a tire review.
Comparison.
Yeah. We'll do some testing. And then before we wrap this up, one last thing. We had talked about this on the phone. So as we said, whoever asked us the question about what trends, we're going to be doing a new video series. We're going to be calling it the Baseline Challenge. And you want to tell them what that is, Andre? Because this goes right to that question.
Yeah, this is a test to figure out which is the best plug-in hybrid by distance, right? Because plug-in hybrids have slightly bigger batteries than normal hybrids. Actually, a lot bigger batteries. And some of them go 20 miles on a charge. Some of them go 30, some 40. We want to see how far do they go. And Baseline is actually a road here in South Boulder in Colorado.
Which follows the 40th parallel.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it's exactly straight.
And it's also straight road that we can go out and back on, so and test it out.
And so just like a lap record, we're going to get the plug-in hybrids. We're going to charge them up at the office. We're going to take them to Baseline, and we're going to measure just how far we can go on one charge. And then we're going to set like a lap time. In other words, this car.
A distance
this
setting.
This went 20 miles. This went 30 miles. And we're going to have crown a champion, whatever one can go the farthest before the engine kicks in. So stay tuned for that. I think we're going to do that over at TFL EV. So we'll have two series running. Cole.
Well, why are you calling him out? Calling him out? We have hands-free 2000, which Cole is working on.
Wait, we were discussing at the meeting this morning. Were you thinking that that might be your series, Cole?
No, he didn't think so.
I know.
He didn't think
so. Do you want it to be your series, Cole? No. Okay. We'll give it to somebody else.
Yes.
We'll give it to one of the other guys. Cole has got his hands full with the new Colin show. A lot of new things here at the
New
Year.
Well, he's also the screener now.
He's the screener, yes, and in charge of setting up now Zoom calls. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah.
And thank you for watching our videos. We're really grateful that you do.
Yeah, appreciate it.
But thank you for your support.
And yeah, it was amazing to talk to you. So
and
thank
you
very much.
If you guys want to talk to us directly, where should they go?
Well, you can go to oldtfl.com to see everything, but you can also email us at ask.
No. You go to Patreon and you become a supporter. And the next time we do a call-in show, you can talk to us directly.
Even better.
Even better. And that's patreon.com/tflcar.
Yes.
We'll see you guys next time. Ciao.
If you're paying more than $1 a month for any ED or hair medication, listen up. At Joy & Blokes, when you start TRT or enclomiphene, you can add any ED or hair loss prescription for just $1 a month. $1 add-ons with your hormone plan, and right now, all labs are 50% off. I'm Josh Whalen, founder of Joy & Blokes. I built this company because men are tired of paying for fragmented care without results. Every Joy & Blokes lab includes a visit with a licensed clinician who connects your symptoms to your biomarkers. You'll get a real plan that covers hormones, performance, and confidence. If you're considering TRT or enclomiphene, this is the most efficient way to do it. Get started at joyandblokes.com and use the promo code PODCAST. New customers get 50% off their labs, and for a limited time, you can take advantage of our $1 ED or hair loss add-ons when you start TRT or enclomiphene. Not available in all states. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Learn more at joyandblokes.com.